Blog Talk Radio.
Needs a shave, he said. I need a haircut, and Cleveland needs a show. 30 minutes past the time we usually do it due to meetings and everything, but here we are. It's an American Sports History podcast hosted by a brother, a mentor and a friend to me, Peter Ray, out there in Ohio. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing in Los Angeles. I know the lines are lit. We're going to get to your questions so we can pass them on. 347-205-9631. We'll get you live. Anything after that, catch it on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more him, less of me. As I lay this red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the threes, Peter. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And this guest seems to be the guy that comes in as many times as you like. And your wife's favorite, take it away as I man the board, my friend.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. It's my name, Peter J. REA. My email address is there. And you're absolutely right. Tonight's guest played Major League Baseball from 1971 to 1981 with the Chicago Cubs, Oakland A's, L.A. Dodgers, and San Francisco Giants. He won two World Series championships in 1973 and 74 with the Oakland A's, 395 career stolen bases, two-time American League stolen base leader 1974-1976, more than 1,000 career hits, the first Oakland A's designated hitter, won a National League title in 1978 with the Dodgers. He led the American League three times in total chances per game, twice in putouts, first once in assists from the outfield on a double play. For the 23rd time, my dear wife Alice's favorite podcast guest because of his good heart and sense of humor. Welcome to the show, Mr. Bill North.
Hey, Alice, what's happening?
You've had some your last two podcasts. I really enjoy. They were both guys who stole bases. Brian Hunter and Lee Lacy. Really wonderful shows.
Yeah, they were. Those guys stole bases. They couldn't quite catch me though.
No, they were. They were.
Brian,
I think,
came within one. Yeah, great guys, both of them. We had good times.
Yeah, and you made a good trade, bobblehead doll trade, Mookie Betts for Manny Mota.
Yeah, man, do you see that? Hey,
I heard.
Mota's one of the best guys ever in the game. Yeah, just a wonderful man and a great teacher and carries himself with the utmost of class.
Yeah, it's funny. I think of those Manny Mota, Sammy Sosa, and Lee Lacy. All guys, those names are with the beginning same sound at the beginning of their names.
Yeah.
So that's good that you. Lee Lacy, one of your teammates from the '70s, and guy, tremendous player in the '70s, and both really good guys. And it's nice that you had. You know a young guy from later after your playing career
take care of those young guys.
Brian Hunter.
Yeah, real good kid.
So You still working on Bobby Gritch, Davey Lopes, Bill Russell, Blue Moon Odom, and Bill Madlock?
Well, some of them are above my pay grade, I guess.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Anyway, so we're I'm glad that you're going to get Lee Lacy again and whoever you get.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, I wanted to go back to the 1974 World Series, wrap that up, because I brought it up last time briefly, but because I thought it was such a great drama. Of course, you guys won. You played a very important role, and Game 4 was a crucial game. You guys were up 2-1 in the series, but you were down in the bottom of the 6th, 2-1. And you worked a walk. So anyway, if LA won, it was 2-2. If you guys win, it's 3-1. Big difference. And Andy Messersmith was a tough pitcher, and you worked a walk off him. He kept throwing over to first, and finally threw the ball away, and you went to second and scored. That was the tying first run in a 4-run inning. So you're up 3-1, and so you played a crucial role in putting the A's up 3-1 in the series.
Yeah, we beat them. Like I said, four of those games, the score was 3-2. It was the lowest batting average World Series of all time. I don't know if there's been one since, but there was a lot of pitching in that series.
And then Game 5, the last – go ahead.
All we needed was 3 runs. We knew that.
Yeah, with those pitchers. Catfish Hunter,
yeah.
Vida Blue, Ken Holtzman. Now, Game 5, the last game, it was Vida Blue against Don Sutton. And before the game, Bill Buckner, at that time, the L.A. Dodgers left fielder, had said, scored the game-tying run on a walk after a walk. And he said that you could not get a hit off of his mother. And crazy, ridiculous.
At that time,
anyway.
He was pretty much right on at that time.
Now, but interesting thing, Rock Hudson threw out the first pitch. Very interesting. Now, in the first inning, after this insult by Buckner, Bert Campaneris got on, and then you were up and hit a ground ball up the middle. We're safe on the fielder's choice. And then you stole second, and then going to third, a wild throw by Steve Yeager. So you were on third with one out, and Sal Bando hit a fly ball to Bill Buckner, and you scored the first run of the game.
Yeah, that was easy.
So that's cool. That's really cool that you and Bill Buckner were really going. And then, of course, the game was tied 2-2, and the seventh, the Oakland fans decided to let Buckner have it, and they're showering garbage on Buckner in left field, long delay. And then Mike Marshall, since he's Superman, doesn't warm up after a long delay, and Joe Rudy goes deep, and that's the final 3-2.
That's all you needed. That's it. There it is. Yeah.
And then in the eighth, again, you and Bill Buckner. Buckner hits a single to center. It gets past you, and Buckner, instead of being happy with being on second with no outs, tries to go to third. Reggie has a great throw. Dick Green has a great throw, and Buckner's out at third
by 10 feet. Never make the first or the third out at third base. Cardinal rule.
Did you ever talk to Bill Buckner about this one-on-one thing you two had going?
I didn't even know he was talking a bunch of stuff. I just know that when we were coming out there to play, somebody said that only two Oakland A's could play on their team. So we dispatched them in five, and when they went home, they said the best team lost. But I sit here in my chair at my desk with a 74 World Series ring on. I wonder what kind of ring they have.
Well, you ended up playing with some of those guys in L.A.
Yeah. Nobody likes to play in L.A. Nobody likes the Los Angeles Dodgers until they play for them. First-class organization. Yep.
Now, I wanted to continue with the greatest pitchers, players from the 1970s. What are your thoughts on Charlie Huff?
Charlie was a country music guy and wore them white shoes and pink shirts and stuff. But he had good knuckleball. He was around for a long time and was a Dodger for a long time. Yeah. He came up with all of those guys, Garvey and all of that.
Robin from Warren, Ohio. Hi, fellas. Wanted to talk about how tough it is, Bill, to retire after having a stellar career.
Wow. It's hard. You have to start. You know, one thing about baseball is that it's extremely structured. You always know where you're going to be. And when you come out into the real world, you don't have anybody telling you where to be or carrying your bags or anything like that. It's tough to adjust. When I came out, I went into financial services and ended up spending over 30 years there. But I was competing with 24-year-olds when I was 34, and that. But hey, man, life moved on. I made it through the grace of God. But it is tough. And the thing that I had, the biggest thing, because I left when I was mad and still able to play, but I had to admit that I loved the game and it was part of me. And that made it easier, you know, to quit fighting the feeling, having those nightmares.
Nick from San Jose, California, one of the best Oakland A's in history, Bill North. Sad to see the shop close in Oakland soon. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think that is an abomination, and I don't think baseball did as much as they could for Oakland throughout the years. And they had a plan to get out of town, and I remember those gambling signs they had in every locker room I ever played in baseball, no gambling, and now they're moving to the gambling mecca, and they get paid by online betting. Baseball's come a long ways. I'm mad at them about Oakland too. Yeah, that's
well, they're going to be. They'll be in Oakland for at least 2 more years. Is that right?
Yeah, but that's that's lame duck.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I can say is the induction in the Oakland A's Hall of Fame is in August, and I'm waiting for the ballot for next year, and so still hoping you make it. In the Oakland A's Hall of Fame, I'll be voting early and often.
Well, yeah, because it ain't going to be Oakland very, very long.
Joey from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Any actors or actresses you saw on the road, most likely New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles, I can imagine?
Oh, yeah, I knew a few. You know, I was a single man. Yeah. Yeah, I like Hollywood. Hollywood was good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were in L. You played in L.A. Did they have? You know, I remember Dick Allen complaining about all this. Did you have? You remember celebrities coming into the clubhouse during your time there?
Oh yeah, met Cary Grant, amongst others, and he was as smooth as he looked in all the movies. He was quite an impressive man. He had on a blue shirt with a blue blazer and gray slacks and a nice tie. Hey, man. And he was really, really kind and nice man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Don Rickles and a bunch of them. Yeah.
Oh, Gregory Don Rickles Peck. Came in.
Don Rickles was there all the time. You know, they
okay.
would come in. After the game, sit in Tommy's office, you know, go in there and sit with him. They were good people and good fans. And, you know, I'm not mad at any of them. Hollywood, I got to meet and get an autograph from Ella Fitzgerald.
Mm.
Now, you think that ain't high cotton. Now,
there you go.
Yeah. Ella Fitzgerald.
Wonderful. How about Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, I met him. And that went to his daughter's wedding, Tommy's daughter's wedding, and that, yeah. It was there were some good people around Tommy, and And the only thing I can say is they were kind to me, and I appreciate it. Yeah.
And you bled Dodger blue.
I don't know about all that stuff, Peter.
Okay.
Don't lose your head now.
did Tommy Lasorda talk about that when you were there, bleeding Dodger blue?
Tommy was a showman, you know.
Right.
Yeah, he was a showman. He had a Hollywood side, too, now.
Yeah. I remember this quote Dick Allen said, don't give me that Dodger blue jive.
I know that's right.
Oh, hey. Boy. Yeah. Kenny from Peoria, Arizona. Was
hey,
Dick
hey.
Williams the... Huh?
He's out in the valley.
Was Dick Williams the best manager you played for, and what manager would you have wanted to play for that you didn't?
I would think Joe Torre, I think I would have liked to play for him because he ran a good show. I'd like to play for Dusty Baker now, you know, but I had... You know, manager, all I needed from him was to write them five letters in that first box and put an eight behind it. And, you know, and it didn't have to be a love affair. You can bet on that.
Did you think, was Dick Williams, was he the best manager you played for?
He was the best manager I ever had.
Right.
Easy.
Okay.
He taught us how to play the game. There was a reason why we won three in a row, and it was because of Dick Williams' requirements in play to know how to play the game and to play the game properly and without mistakes and no mental mistakes. You know? And you couldn't make the same physical one too many times. Yeah.
Were you playing with, you were when you had that play where you, Pete Rose got on and then you were challenging each other. Who were you playing? And then he took second, you made a high throw. Who were you playing for then?
I can't remember. That was in the National League, though, so it had to be the Dodgers or the Giants.
Okay, it was, all right. Lance from Pensacola, Florida. This show just keeps picking up steam. Old style baseball talk. I love this. Thank you, Peter and Bill.
Thank you, Lance. We appreciate that you appreciate it.
Okay, another guy from Greatest 70s Player, Terry Forster.
Terry Forster. He used to be a starter. And then in Chicago, they put Rich Gossage and Terry Forster together to close games out. And that was quite a task to get either one of them. Terry Forster threw a hard fastball that went down and bored in on you and threw a heavy ball. Yeah, he's a good guy, though. He's a good guy. I think he was over with the Dodgers once he was or something. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but he was a good person, too.
Okay, another guy, Pat Dobson.
Pat was over there with Baltimore. He was the fourth name, the one that trivia people use because there were four 20-game winners over there, and Pat Dobson was one of them. Yeah, he was a good pitcher. He was a good pitcher. I remember having decent success against him. Yeah. He was easy to steal on, you know, once you got there.
Yeah, when Cleveland had Frank Robinson as manager, they brought over Boog Powell and Pat Dobson. And Pat Dobson had one good year with Cleveland, so that was I enjoyed that. That was fun. It was fun having some of those great players.
I remember when Boog was over there, isn't that something? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really fun having Boog Powell in Cleveland. Everybody loves Boog Powell. Okay, another guy, Rick Rushel.
We came up through the minor leagues together with the Cubs. And Rick Rushel was a big man. But he was a tremendous, and he reminded me of those, Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp was a 300-pound man, but he had twinkle toes. He was a dancing elephant. And Rick Rusher was a great base runner, and he moved really, really good and had a good pitcher. He'd stay between your knees and your feet in that area, right on your shins. But he was a good pitcher and a good athlete. And I consider him a friend. We came up together, went through the minor leagues together.
Billy from Pompano Beach, Florida. We have a kid down here hitting 400. I remember Rod Carew, Wade Boggs, and George Brett.
I remember them too. And they could, you talked about a whole bunch of hitters right there. The one thing they had in common is that they used the whole field. Boggs didn't have the power of Carew and
George Brett.
George Brett, but he could move the ball around. But I mean, they could stretch you. They could really stretch you out, George Brett and Rod Carew, because they could both go deep. Carew could have hit more home runs if he wanted to.
Okay, another 70s player, great 70s player, Don Baylor.
Groove. We used to call him Groove. He was my teammate over there in Oakland. Don Baylor was a hell of a hitter. When he got hot, he'd go 20 for 25 or something like that. And just, you couldn't get him out. And just a great teammate and one of the tough guys in the game. But he was very refined. He knew wines and he was cosmopolitan. Rest his soul. But one of the truly good people. When he came to town, he came and stayed at my house until he got settled in. But I always loved Donnie. Donnie was good people.
Another guy from the 70s, Jim Rooker.
Left-handed pitcher, Pittsburgh. I don't remember too much about it, but he was over there with the lumber company, you know. Who was he over there with?
Jerry Royce.
Jerry Royce, yeah. Jerry Royce threw a no-hitter, and I made the last out. I was the only one that went 0 for 4. But yeah, Jim Rooker was a good pitcher. He stayed around a long time.
Okay, another guy, Gary Carter.
Yeah, nah, you struck a nerve. Tried to hurt me one time, sliding in the home, and by the blue, ended up hitting him the next inning in his knee, and he picked the ball up. He's going to first base. He picked the ball up and flipped it back to Vida and went on to first base like it didn't hurt.
Uh-huh.
Well, by the time the next inning came around, he couldn't come out and catch. Vida Blue is not going to hit you in your knee and it not hurt. I don't care how tough you are. Yeah,
What happened at the play of the plate?
He tried to twist my ankle.
How did he do that?
There were a few of them that were less than clean. And on Gary Carter, when I scored, I always slid to the plate. I wouldn't slide through the plate because when you do that, he can get your ankle and he can twist it, you know, in your glove. And it was really, when I slid to the plate up there in Montreal, it was really apparent because he was reaching out to get my ankle to do it.
Why would he want to twist your ankle?
Well, some of them don't like you to run on them. There's a million reasons why somebody might want to do something to you.
Oh, you stolen bases.
Yeah, and could be something else. I don't know. But I know this much, you know, it's not all lilies and tulips out there, Peter. There's some guys that try to do things out there. And you got to know who they are and when they're going to try and do it, when you can try and do it back to them. Yeah.
So after he tried to hurt you, what did you speak to him at that time?
Yeah.
What
yeah,
did
we
you
had
say?
We had a conversation. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Well, I can't. It wasn't PG. Let's put it like that.
And what did he? And what did he say?
I told him that he was a little bit chicken, and that he, you know, and you know, he'll get his. You know,
okay.
If you knew me, I wasn't going to just sit there and walk away meekly. You
right.
Can bet that. You know?
No, you're a fighter.
And it's, well, you know, I'm not going to just let somebody sit there and try and hurt me.
Uh-huh. And what did
you
he
know,
say?
You know, Enos Cabell went wild. He's coming out of the dugout and Vida. But see, Vida wasn't the kind of pitcher. He didn't have to hit people and that. But every now and then that situation arises where you got to protect your teammate, you know. And so the next inning, I could tell the way Vida was releasing the ball. He was trying to pull down and hit Carter. But the first two pitches were strikes. And then he finally got enough over it, and he cut it a little bit, hit him right on the kneecap, right on the side of the knee. And
so you were with the Giants, and Carter was with the Expos?
Yeah.
And Enos Cabell was with the Giants?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, another guy. Go ahead.
And then later that series, I ended up that might have been on a Friday. It was on that Saturday, and I came around. But I ended up hitting my only grand slam of my career, left-handed, of course, where I didn't hit very many home runs, off of Steve Rogers, and drove in six runs on the Saturday, the day before Mother's Day. And so I said that, and it was a national game, and I told them that was for my mom.
when you scored off that grand slam, did you make eye contact with Gary Carter?
Oh, no, he was on the bench.
Oh, okay, he's still hurt.
He was hurt.
From Vida Blue's well-placed pitch.
Hey, man, you didn't worry. I don't care what you say. You don't... On the knee, by the blue, that makes my skin crawl. that's going to hurt.
Okay, another guy from the 70s, Ken Sanders.
Oh, yeah, he was, he was with Cleveland too, wasn't he?
He was,
And he was with Baltimore or the Mets or one of them. Yeah, he was a junk ball pitcher, and that he stayed around a long time, got some wins. You know, he wasn't like when you're going to face him the next day. You don't get the Nolan Ryan flu or anything. You want to kind of go up there, he's a big league pitcher. He's getting somebody out. Yeah.
Okay, Dalen from Chelmsford, Massachusetts, has a comment. We don't have time to take it here. He's talking about, did you hit that grand slam off of Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
He's talking about that. Our guest has been the starting center fielder and leadoff hitter for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s. The time is gone. It's flown away. Bill, do you have any final words for our audience?
We always go real fast, Peter. I enjoy the time, but I appreciate our audience and having them ask questions. And you guys take care of yourselves out there and don't take no wooden nickels. But thank you a lot. Thank you a lot for listening to me and Peter run on at the mouth.
Thanks a million, Bill, for a wonderful show. Another wonderful show. Number 23.
Oh, shoot. That's a
no. 24, I'm sorry.
Huh? Keep on. Let's keep on until they run us off the air.
That's right. We'll keep going because I know something good when I have it, and it's having Bill North every 2 weeks is something really good. Because not only because you were a tremendous '70s player, but you have a good heart and a good sense of humor, and you're my wife's favorite podcast. My dear wife Alice's favorite podcast guest.
I know that's right. And Peter, I enjoy you too. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my gosh, what a gift having you on. Nick, we'll have Bill North in 2 weeks. I don't know the date, but anyway, that's going into July. Next week, we're going to have Matthew DiBiase talking NFL history. We'll talk about Bill Parcells, who won a couple Super Bowls his time with the Giants, Patriots, Jets, and Cowboys, and also Bill Cowher, who was a Steelers head coach. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. And rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks again so much, Mr. Bill North.
Thank you.
Wonderful.